Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
J.J. Watt, Bill O'Brien tomorrow right here on this very station.
Here we go, baby!
J.J. Watt's is going to be on with the afternoon show at 2-ish, 2 to 6. Be listening all 4 hours. You'll hear J.J. Watt. Bill O'Brien going to be on with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the practice field. Their access is second to none. They're actually
going to
be on the air
machine
from 8 to 10. Their access is always strong.
He might have
but in years
machine.
Like this, their access is invaluable. I will be listening to Texans radio the next 2 weeks. Because they are on the field, they are in the building every single day. They are part of the squad. I have to listen to them, and you should as well, especially tomorrow with BOB on the air.
Yeah, no,
the pads are coming on.
The pads, you're gonna hear the crack of the helmets and the pop of the shoulder pads tomorrow in the background.
Have you ever had to go buy pads for your wife?
Who hasn't?
That was random.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Some guys won't do it.
I own it.
Girl goes into
it. You know, I always tell people.
So you go to Walgreens and you get the pads.
Hey, there's some Tampax for my wife. How much are they? Okay. Which one should I get?
Okay.
Should I get these or these? You got to own these things, okay. Man.
Just asking. All right. Yeah, back
absolutely.
To what you're doing. I apologize. Figgy, you do?
Nah, I never had to.
Okay, cool.
Own it, though. All if right. She ever asked you, you know, that people that, you know. Oh. It's like buying condoms. People trying to get all sneaky buying condoms.
I feel some kids are embarrassed to go buy condoms. I feel like condoms should be free, like mints at restaurants.
Well,
I
they
think
should.
Be good for them,
they
I
should.
Was that kid.
Kids shouldn't be embarrassed.
You
to
were
buy
embarrassed?
Condoms.
Yeah,
dude.
I would
own
only
it.
Go to like the adult store to get them.
I used to walk into the ice house and say, "Where are your condoms, man? I got to go in the night." Mm. And then they laugh, and then you go. Come on.
Yeah, but not if you're like 16.
Especially if you're like 16.
Moving on. I didn't like buying the condoms.
Yeah?
No.
All right. Oh, so, training camp.
It's happening, and the pads come on tomorrow.
I feel bad for me.
Why is that, John?
I'm being very selfish. That's one of my absolute... I'm not like John McClain. Been to training camp every year since 1977. Or whatever it was, 78. I don't remember the last training camp I've missed. I don't. I got here in 1990. My first day on the job was January 1st, 1990 at the Chronicle. But I went to camp in 88 and 89 when I was working in San Antonio. So I'm guessing it was 88 was my first training camp. It's just one of the coolest things in the world, and I'm going somewhere with this.
Damn, 88?
No. 1988 was the first training camp I went to. It was
yeah, I was more.
Really? It was a... Houston Oilers and Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wow.
In California. They used to go to, why am I drawing a blank? Oxnard? Yeah. That was a lot of fun. So anywho, where I'm going with this is I understand the access that you're going to have on our radio station because I've been doing it since 1988 at some venue or another. And the setup they have, it's actually better than they've had in recent years.
No, it's about as good as you can
have. It's like right next to the field.
Yeah.
So next to the field, there's pads in front of the...
Yeah.
They put up a stage.
Yeah.
So they can get elevated and watch.
Yeah.
Because the Texans also know...
You think John Harris has been able to sleep lately?
No. No, not at all. Not at all.
Zero chance.
No, it's an exciting, exciting thing. It's one of my still favorite things to do in sports, and I feel bad that I'm not going to be able to go, but lucky that we got our guys there.
I just love those guys, man. Yeah. I just really do. And, you know, a lot of times it's – I don't want to say it's like, oh, gosh, you know, you got a – Texans radio is on. I can just listen to Sean and Seth or whatever. But these guys really, like, it's they're basically like bringing it
exclusive stuff.
Yeah,
there's nothing more. Like, there's nothing more you can get. Like, the information that you get from 8 to 10, they're there every day. They're seeing these guys every day. They've watched every single practice. They're the only guys that have watched every single practice. John Harris is going to be able to give you the insight on everybody from the beginning to the end of the roster. I can't go out there now and say, oh, look at that Roderick Johnson guy. He might be the swing tackle.
Well, you always have. Do that. We're not going to really have a chance to
Sean
have
Sean can do it.
We're not going to really.
Harris is going to be there even when Sean's not.
My favorite part of camp is watching the linemen, especially the new linemen or in new positions on both lines.
You really like to party there.
Just because, like, you can get a real gauge because they go hard at it, man. They do. The linemen, everything else is kind of half-assed. Linemen, during the drills, they go full bore because they're trying to earn jobs. So you can really learn a lot about that.
God, I can't wait.
And then my second favorite,
and I can't wait,
thing is just being able to kind of see that 11-on-11 up close and personal. You know, you're right there.
I want to see Kiki.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see Kiki, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer. I wonder if they're going to let me do questions this year. They haven't asked me.
Well, ask them.
Kind of hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
If you have access to John Harris
Explain
or Mark
yourself.
Vandermeer on Twitter. I need all the loopholes to do me a favor on Twitter. I want you to be nice, but I want you to reach out to Vandermeer and Harris and say, why is Landry Locker not giving you questions? You're still the lead-in to his show from 8 to 10.
I miss Landry Locker giving you questions.
And they like the questions, and I always give them the good questions. So if you're on Twitter, at Texans Voice, at Harris Football, ask them what the hell's wrong with them and not letting me ask my questions.
Yeah.
AFC South best.
Mm-hmm.
Best quarterback in the AFC South, Deshaun Watson, hands down.
Thank you.
No questions asked. Texans have the best quarterback. Do you agree or disagree?
Agree.
Best running backs in the AFC South. Best running back room in the AFC South. I'm giving it to the Titans because I don't know what Jonathan Taylor is going to be in his first year with the Colts. And they do have Marlon Mack, who was top 10 in the league in rushing last year. So they have a duo, but I'm going to give the tie to Derrick Henry. So I'm going to say the Titans have the best running backs just because Derrick Henry can carry a team. Leonard Fournette and Jacksonville, they come in at third. And then the Texans, I think they have the fourth best running back room in the AFC South. Is there anything you disagree with?
I pretty much am in lockstep with you. I would project the Colts to be the best room eventually.
I could see that, but I'm just not going I'm not going to take down Derrick Henry yet.
I mean, he could go,
he's
for,
the king
he
right
could go
now.
For 1,800 yards, man.
He's the king. You know. So I don't want to disrespect him.
Right.
But when you got two guys like Marlon Mack and you got Jonathan Taylor, yeah, I could definitely see them overtaking that. Wide receivers. Best wide receivers in the AFC South. This is where it gets interesting because regardless of how you feel about the Texans, they're in the discussion. You got Brandon Cooks, who's had four straight 1,000-yard seasons before last year. You got Randall Cobb in the slot, who you paid a lot of money to. You got Will Fuller, who balls out when he's on the field. You got who knows what after that, Kenny Stills, who had some good moments with Deshaun Watson. Then maybe you have Kiki QT. So you have some good wide receivers here in Houston.
Yeah.
Colts and Jags are the clear 3-4 on this.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to the Tennessee Titans. And let me explain myself. I just feel like A.J. Brown's the best receiver in this division. I think he's going to be one of the best receivers in the league after this year. I think Adam Humphrey's in the slot, who they gave a lot of money to a couple years ago. I think now that he's had a year with Ryan Tannehill, I think he could be one of the bounce-back players. And I think Corey Davis, the former pick in the first round, early first-round pick, playing on the final year of his rookie deal, I feel like in a one-year prove-it-deal situation with the Tennessee Titans, I feel like they have the slight edge over the Houston Texans, because with all that said about the Texans, you also have to take into account that these guys have durability concerns, all four of them for the Texans.
I think what puts – I'm with you again on this one. And I think what puts Tennessee over the top is they have the super elite player in his prime, not even to his prime yet, in A.J. Brown. You can kind of find a tie, you know, for various reasons elsewhere among the receivers, but they got the dude. And I think – A.J. Brown is going to be exactly that.
Tight ends.
Tennessee, next.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith. I gave it to Jonnu Smith. Jack Doyle has also been a Pro Bowler with the Colts.
He might have a really good year.
Yeah, he's
put him on your fantasy list.
Yeah, he's on there. Thanks for putting my business out there. But all right.
I didn't know.
Jack Doyle, Pro Bowler. Texans got a good balanced room. Fells had 7 touchdowns, but I got to give it to Tennessee. I think Jonnu Smith has the arrow pointing up. Offensive line. There's some good offensive lines in this division. I give it to the Colts.
Yeah.
I put the Texans at second.
Close.
And the Titans have a really good offensive line. They lost Jack Conklin, their starting right tackle, but they drafted Isaiah Austin, and they have one of the best offensive lines. They actually have 10 of 11 starters coming back. AFC South has good O-lines. I think the Texans are behind the Colts. I think the Colts have the slight edge. And then I think the Titans have a good offensive line. Jacksonville, who the hell knows with them?
Exactly. I agree with you on all that.
Defense. I didn't want to go, you know, position group by position group on defense. I think the Colts with Darius Leonard, who when JJ's on the field, he's right up there. But Darius Leonard has stayed on the field. He's one of the best players, I think, in the NFL. You add DeForest Buckner for the first-round pick. They've also added some pieces on the secondary. I think the Colts have the best defense in the division. I actually think the Texans could be the worst defense on paper in the entire division, even behind Jacksonville, depending on what happens with Ngakoue. But they focused a lot of attention on defense in Jacksonville with some young talent.
I think it's
so
Colts.
The Texans might have the
I think it's Colts comfortably over the field, but Tennessee would probably be second.
Yeah, but we don't know what's up with Beasley, and they did lose Jarrell Casey.
Right.
They lost a 5-time Pro Bowler in Jarrell Casey, but I have no idea. But I think the Texans are fourth here. This is where the Texans aren't really near the top of the AFC South. And then, Coach, this was tough. I had to flip a coin here. Do you go with Frank Reich, who had some bad luck last year after winning a playoff game in his first year with Andrew Luck retiring?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you go with Mike Vrabel, who's been 9-7 the last 2 years and made the AFC Championship last game? Or do you go with Bill O'Brien, who's won the last 2 division titles and won the division more times than he has it in the division? I had to go with Mike Vrabel, although I think Frank Reich, if you ask me what the answer is going to be a year from now, I think it'll be Frank Reich. But based on what it is right now, you go to the AFC Championship, you have back-to-back 9-7 seasons with 2 different quarterbacks. I will give Mike Vrabel the nod over Bill O'Brien, which, by the way, Vrabel's 2-2 against O'Brien lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Reich's 3-2 head-to-head against O'Brien with that playoff win. Who do you go with when it comes to best coach? I gave Vrabel the slight edge over Reich. Bill O'Brien right there in third.
I'm going to go with Frank Reich, but you made a strong argument for Vrabel. I think it's very, very close. I think Reich got sideswiped with Andrew Luck, whereas Vrabel didn't have a superstar in Ryan Tannehill, but he saw that coming and made it happen. I'm going to give Reich a little bit of an edge over Vrabel.
It's the best in the AFC South here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Pads on tomorrow. Bill O'Brien at 8 with Vandy and John Harris. JJ at 2 with Clint and Show. Speaking of JJ, what do you want to hear from JJ? And how is JJ going to answer the questions? And how does the relationship between B.O.B. and JJ end? In the Loop continues 4 weeks away from the start of the Texans season next.
I have no idea.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, JJ's talking tomorrow. John Lopez is laying out the script. I'm going to answer it like JJ Watt would. Here we go.
Are you?
JJ Watt, tomorrow.
You promise?
Afternoon show. I'll try my best. By the way, I don't want any COVID questions. Okay? He's answered COVID questions and not. Don't ask him what the offseason's been like. Don't ask him about COVID. Look, they can do whatever they want. This is just, I don't want to hear COVID questions. I don't really care about any of the other guys on the defensive line either. What do you see in Charles Minshew? What's he going to say? He sucks.
Yeah, no, we know that answer.
He's a second-year guy. He could be a good player. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell you anything there. I want to hear something tomorrow, and I'm confident we are, from J.J. Watt, something that I have not heard before.
All right. I'm here for you, man. I've been in the business. Is there any apprehension, J.J., that the Texans are the first team to go through all these things that the NFL is laying out in terms of opening facilities and safeguards and practicing and putting on pads and, of course, ultimately playing a game? Is there any apprehension on your part being the first ones to have to go through all that and experience the ups and the downs?
Well, it's actually a pretty big honor to be able to do that, actually, John.
he would say that.
I mean, we got it. We you know, at the end of the day, we're going to be the first guys that people see when we run out on the field during this pandemic. And, you know, it's kind of like a Terminator movie when you walk in there. It's crazy. You wouldn't even recognize the place. But at the end of the day, it's football. It's 11 on 11. It's 60 minutes. It's two halves, four quarters. Best team's going to go out there and win. And at the end of the day, it's just ball. And we're the first guys to do it. So regardless, dude, we still got a job to do.
I could see him doing that. I could also see him saying, hopefully we're the first ones to get a win too. Right? All right, JJ. Appreciate that answer. What makes Anthony Weaver different from other defensive coordinators? Now, I know you've talked about him in the offseason, but you are now practicing under his guidance, and he has said that he's going to put some new wrinkles in, maybe some new sets. What is going on there?
Oh, Weave's a great guy. I tell you, you know, Weave's always done a great job as a defensive line coach. I'm so happy that he got this opportunity. You know, Romeo was really good to me. I know that he's still in the building, and it's great to have Rack still walking around. But Weave's a great guy. He's going to put us in the best position to win. I think he's going to be a good defensive coordinator. I'm looking forward to seeing Weave take that next step.
Not really answering the question, but I it's a good answer. Not answer to the question. All right.
That's what you're going to get.
I know. JJ, you said this is the best shape you've been in since 2014 and 2015. That was your best two-year stretch of production of your career in terms of sacks. Are those the goals you're setting, career sack numbers?
Well, I mean, obviously the goals you set, you always want to be the best no matter what, whether you're a rookie in 2011 or whether you're a guy, you know, on the final stages of your career, you always want to aim to be the best. So, of course, I always aim to be the best. This has been an interesting offseason. I've been hanging out a lot with my golden retrievers at home. I've been running on the football field, and I just feel really good. But, you know, whether it was the last few years where I've struggled to stay healthy, whether it was my first year when I was just an anxious rookie, whether it's now, you know, you always want to be the best version of yourself. And I'm feeling great, and I'm ready for the challenge of trying to be the best version of that I can be for this football team.
Is your Madden rating serving as a motivation?
Oh, man. Internet went nuts whenever that happened.
Yeah, you tweeted about it.
I was just kind of kidding around about that. You know, it's a video game at the end of the day. At the end of the day, what's gonna decide my success is the work I put in the offseason and how I produce on Sundays, Thursdays, whatever it is. That's really what's going to determine my success, not some video game ranking. I think Madden's cool. I think it's a great game. Love to be on the cover one day. Grew up playing it with my brothers. Used to beat Derek all the time. TJ, back and forth a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I control what I can control, and I can't control a Madden rating.
All right. I appreciate that, JJ. What's it going to be like not having Wisconsin football this year?
Oh, feel awful for Badger Nation. All the business owners out there, I mean, it's a special place. You go out there on a Saturday, you got Bucky Badger out there, all the kids, all the fans.
Shout out to Bucky.
I remember going to Wisconsin games growing up with my dad and my mom, and it was just always so special. And then being a part of it, it's tough. You feel for Badger Nation. You feel for them. Nothing better than going around the Big Ten. You look at all the businesses and just the environment of college football. It's unfortunate, and man, it's going to be tough to not be able to, be on the road or at home before a game and not being able to turn on that TV and see my Wisconsin Badgers on TV. That's a tough one. I feel for everybody out there.
Would they consider coming to the Big 12?
No.
JJ, would you kneel for the national anthem? Will you kneel for the national anthem if any of your teammates do or they ask you to?
Well, I think it's it's a personal choice. You know, some people feel that they need to kneel. Some people feel they need to stand. That's the beauty of this country. That's the beauty of this country is you have freedom of speech and you have freedom of expression. So, you know, I respect anyone's choice to kneel. I think that I will probably stand, but you know, this is something we're going to talk about as a team. Fortunately, we got 4 weeks to make that decision, but I respect anyone's decision and what they decide to do.
All right, JJ, you eventually got to an answer. What will replace throwing a football into the stands, if anything, like you like to do with fans? Because you're so interactive with fans, you can't throw a football into the fans. There probably won't be any fans. What's going to be like not having that interaction with fans, and is anything going to replace throwing a football?
Well, I know the NBA's got those cyber fans. I wonder if I could throw a football at the TV to one of the kids or something like that. I don't know. It's just always a really unique experience out there with the fans. I love the fans of Houston. We got some awesome fans. You can feel the energy. Throwing the ball with the kids before the game has always been, you know, a way for me to connect with our young fans. It's going to be weird to go out there before the game warming up with my sleeveless T-shirt on, you know, getting my sweat on and not seeing the fans. But, you know, I think the best reward that we can give our fans this year, if they're not going to be in the stands, is wins. Because at the end of the day, that's what fans want. And while we're not going to be able to build off of that energy, the best reward that we can give fans this year might not be able to play catch with you, but I'm going to go out there and leave it on the field every single day.
Oh, you're going to leave it on the field.
And hopefully we're going to reward you with some wins.
You're going to leave it all on the field, huh, JJ? Hey, when are you and Kalia going to have a baby?
Man, it's crazy, you know. My brother Derek just had a kid. And
yeah, you're always doing stuff on social media with your nephews and nieces.
It's crazy, man. You just kind of see the kid, and he starts to remind you of him, and he reminds you of you. I mean, it's no secret. I want to have kids, but, you know, Kay, she's got her soccer career going on. So I don't know if it's in the plans, but I definitely, eventually, I'd love to have some little JJs running
some
around.
Some little JJ. What's your favorite Subway sandwich?
Oh, you got to go steak and cheese. Double meat. Double meat.
Double meat, double cheese?
Triple meat if it's a cheat day, you know what I mean?
How do you feel about, at the end of the Subway line, when they go, salt and pepper, oil and vinegar?
Well, just depends on the sandwich. Sometimes you got to get it, sometimes you don't.
Okay, that's way to straddle the fence there, my man.
Different strokes, different folks.
Yeah.
God, I might eat Subway now. You just mentioned that. I'm a Subway guy now.
You know, that's a nice thing.
I'm back on the Subway kick. I don't know. I was gone for a while. I'm back on the Subway kick. I'm back on it.
I think it was a brilliant stroke by them to do the salt, pepper, oil, and vinegar at the end. Mm-hmm. It just makes it seem special. You know, like anybody can make a sandwich. It's really not that complicated. It's not like, I know they can roast them now or whatever, toast them. All that. But it really, like my favorite there is the cheapest, easiest one, is the cold cut combo.
Yeah.
I could do that every day at my house.
Yeah,
but when you go through it and somebody makes it for you, and then they go salt, pepper, oil, and vinegar, I'm like, ooh.
You know, my
we just stepped it up a notch.
My buddy, I had a couple friends who worked at Subway in high school, and they had the key. So mm-hmm. we would go there like after hours, like at like 12:30, 1, and make our own sandwiches.
Yeah. That night that I got shot at, that I told the story here.
Yeah.
It was my buddy that owned worked at a creamery, and they had like all the eggs you wanted. And when the eggs were going bad, he would just take them home. Well, he gave us like 10, 18 packs.
I feel like I won that one. I would rather have free Subway than free eggs.
And get shot at?
Me. Yeah, I would rather just go to Subway and not get shot at than get eggs and get shot at. That's just me. How about you, Figgy? You want the free Subway or the eggs?
Free Subway.
There we go. 713-572-4610.
You don't want to get shot at?
Would you rather
That's
get
not
shot
fun.
At
That's not fun.
I know I didn't want it.
Or would not you fun. Want that? Irony and intrigue. Those are the two emotions going on around here. Some irony with the Rockets, some intrigue and anticipation with the Astros. Say it ain't so. Are we really going to see him tomorrow? We might. I'll tell you who next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's some irony and intrigue going on around here. Let's start with the irony. We were talking about the song Ironic by Alanis Morissette when, ironically, as that was going on, there was some breaking news that happened to be ironic. The song, not ironic, till 2:30 a.m. when she says, 10,000 spoons, all you need is a knife. That's the only ironic part in the whole song. But the Rockets, If you look at their playoff matchup against the Oklahoma City Thunder,
mm-hmm.
things could not be more ironic for the Rockets. So I decided to do a little impromptu, and this was impromptu.
Well, explain the ironic part, and then it'll resonate with the song.
The irony of this is...
And you're right on this one.
Russell Westbrook is going to miss the start of this series...
with a soft tissue injury.
Against Chris Paul, who couldn't stay healthy with the Rockets... and he's ready to go and play in some of the best basketball in the NBA. So you traded a guy because he couldn't stay healthy and he couldn't gel with his teammates. He went to a team that didn't have much talent. He's been healthy. He's going to be ready to go when the series starts. And the guy you traded him for, who was durable up to this point, is out. That is irony. So I decided to just do a little impromptu. And I promise you, this was like maybe 90 seconds to get ready for it. I'm kind of prefacing it, so don't hike your leg too bad on. I'm actually pretty proud of it. Give it a damn Grammy, honestly. This is the irony, the Alanis Morissette remix of the situation the Rockets are heading into. Mr. CP3 was always too hurt to play. He argued with Harden all night and day. He'd get mad and pout till they shipped his ass out. Now the playoffs starting. Paul's there, Westbrook's out. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
I do.
There you go.
That was awesome.
That was
your best. That was your best freestyle ever.
Hey,
and you fancy yourself as a good freestyler, and you are.
Hey,
he's pretty good, isn't he, Figgy?
Hey,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just telling you, that is ironic. Do the Rockets have bad karma? Seriously, I'm being serious. Did Daryl Morey do something?
It's a trick question.
Because Mike D'Antoni, I know he has bad karma or bad luck. Yeah. I will say, and I've told him. I've said this when we've gotten to interview him, like with the Suns,
mm-hmm.
he lost Amari Stoudemire when he was one of the best players in the game. When Amari Stoudemire was ready to go, Amari left the bench after he got hip checked. Joe Johnson got hurt. And then you had Chris Paul when the Rockets took a 3-2 lead over the Warriors.
Snap.
He pulled his hammy.
Yep.
And now you have this. Is there something that the Rockets did wrong to where the mojo's just not there?
I never really buy into that. I think teams just go on bad streaks, but then in the midst of those bad streaks, you start thinking and questioning your own opinion, because you're like, man, what happened? Was he born under a cloud? I mean, what's going on? The Rockets have fallen short, man. I mean, they've not lived up to their expectations. I think more so that this series. Is going to reflect more on Daryl Morey than anyone, more than James Harden, and that's saying something. And you guys know
it's all about Harden. Come on.
Oh no. I think maybe more so in this city. I think a lot of people are down on James Harden when they fall short, but nationally, people are really down on James Harden when they fall short. I've said this a few times, and I always feel bad saying it, but we do our jobs and we try to be honest. And I'm just being honest because I like Daryl Morey. I actually had a nice little Twitter exchange with him the other day. I like him. But if you're going to be completely – are we being real here, you know? What does Landry always say, Figgy?
Keep it 100.
Are we being 100 here? We are. And I think Daryl Morey has consistently fallen just short of what he has been charged to do, more so than James Harden. And I think this series is a referendum, a more public referendum on Daryl Morey, because he shipped out Chris Paul because Chris Paul didn't fit.
John.
Chris Paul didn't work. Chris Paul was, he
couldn't get along with Harden.
Couldn't get along with Harden. But, nevertheless, Daryl Morey. Let's talk about the Hall of Famers that Daryl Morey has had since he's been here. Tracy McGrady.
On the back end.
Not on the back end. He was averaging 30 one year, I believe. So Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming.
Couldn't stay healthy.
I'm just saying, but he was at his peak, for a couple of years there.
Hall of Famer.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but come on. We know why. Like
this one, you're going to roll your eyes out, but Daryl Morey brought him in. Carmelo Anthony.
Get out of here.
Is Carmelo a Hall of Famer?
This fat ass wasn't a Hall of Famer when he was here.
I understand that. It didn't work here. That's my whole point.
Yeah, but he sucked.
Yes. It didn't work here. He wasn't a fit.
But he wasn't
good.
Who
brought him in?
But he wasn't good.
How's he playing this year?
He's all right.
My point is this. He tried twice, first of all, to bring Carmelo in. Failed the first time. Finally brought Carmelo in. It didn't work. So you got those three. Who am I missing? You got, I know I'm missing some more here. Oh, Dwight Howard. That's another Hall of Famer. Chris Paul. Okay. I mean, Daryl Morey has brought in a ton of guys. The fit has not been there.
Well,
and that is on the general manager sometimes. Sometimes.
Nah.
Been different coaches, too, by the way.
Here's the thing.
It's been Jeff Van Gundy. It's been Kevin McHale. And now it's been Mike D'Antoni.
But this is the thing. If the Rockets lose, it's going to be James Harden that's getting the criticism.
Absolutely. I agree. I could not agree more.
You're saying he shouldn't?
What I'm saying is this is more of a referendum on Daryl Morey. He's been here 14 years.
Don't you think the Dwight thing, though, was more of a Harden thing or maybe even a Dwight thing? The Chris Paul thing, I think you could put on Harden. I think this is more about Harden than it is Daryl. If they come up short,
I think you're missing my point here, and I'm not trying to talk down.
No, I get it.
Maybe I'm explaining it bad.
I'm telling you what it is. You're saying what it should be.
Yes.
You're saying what it should be. I'm saying what it's going to be.
It is going to be about James Harden.
I feel you on that.
But I don't know of.
I'm saying I don't think it should be. I'm saying it should be on Harden.
I don't know of an NBA general manager. I'm sure there's been some, but I can't think of any off the top of my head that has benefited more from just having a good relationship with the media than Daryl Morey.
For sure.
Credit to him.
For sure.
Because he's made millions of dollars off of it. But at the same time, I also don't know of a general manager in the NBA that has lasted 14 years without delivering a championship despite having, five, six Hall of Famers?
Well, yeah.
14 years, never gotten to where they promised they would get.
What you're saying is right, and I think a lot of people feel that way with Morey. I just think Harden's going to get the brunt of it, and I think he should.
He will.
Because I think he's a unique player where you have to put the right pieces around him. I also think, man, Daryl put the NBA in a tough spot with that Hong Kong tweet.
Oh, there's that too. How did he survive that?
I mean...
Tillman Fertitta.
It's a trick question.
No one was talking about this at all until he said that. And now all of a sudden, politicians are clout chasing on it.
Yeah.
Tillman Fertitta's brought it up about three times, including in the
White
House.
And he's still here. And okay.
That right there put the NBA in a weird place.
Yeah. Cost them millions. Still costing them. China, to this day, still can't watch
Rockets games there.
Yeah, you can't watch Rockets games there, and China still has not reopened its business relationship with the NBA. Because of one guy.
Which sucks, man, because I feel for a lot of people of China when you do this situation. A lot of people will say, why didn't the NBA say this? Man, there's a lot of people in China that is their freedom, being able to enjoy the NBA, man. That's as much enjoyment as they're allowed to have. And stuff like that, that's crazy. But I think it adds, Daryl Morey, that might have just as much to do with all the other stuff you said as far as how it goes down. But the bottom line is, I don't think the Rockets are underdogs to the Thunder. Show thinks they are. I don't.
Right.
And I don't think they should be. That's irony. Intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Alvarez could be in town as early as tomorrow, and he could be in the lineup as early as this weekend. Dusty Baker said yesterday that we could see Jordan this weekend. And Dusty's been very cautious with Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, he said he started running a week ago.
Yeah.
He's talking about knees and stuff. He ain't going to put this out there unless there's not a very strong chance that we see Alvarez very, very soon in the lineup.
I think there's something about this that's just a little funny from the get-go, as we say in Texas. Jordan not even getting here late, very mysterious circumstances around what's happening with him, allowing people to go ahead and presume that it was COVID related, which without verifying or denying. Now all of a sudden, videos come out. He's knocking home runs, all over the place in simulated games. And now he's ready in such short order. It could be a situation where he's been ready other than physical conditioning, or could be something else. Who knows? Or he could be rushing back. And it wouldn't be the first one where you could raise that question that maybe he's rushing back. Verlander, Osuna, etc.
Jordan looks good in the workout videos. I'm a sucker for a workout video.
You
looks
are.
Looks pretty good. I'm also a sucker for Zach Greinke. You want to talk about stepping up when your team needs you. Justin Verlander goes down. You're coming off a start, which you didn't get out of three innings, and the three starts that we've seen since. Man, Zach, you're no longer just sound clip entertainment for me, my man. You've stepped it up. When they needed you to be a top of the rotation guy, I don't care if Show thinks you're a bottom of the rotation guy or not. You step it up, and you still bring it at the press conference. Yesterday, Zach Greinke was tipping his pitches. This is his media availability after the game. The two best words you can hear on radio, Greinke presser.
I saw you do this a couple starts now where you appear to be calling your own pitches or giving hand signs. Can you kind of give us your motive there and how long have you been doing that?
It's mainly just to hopefully do it to where I – with the man on second base, we could get things figured out faster. But today there's a man on second base and it got all messed up and it took a lot longer than I was hoping it to take. And I mean, it's 50% chance it could have been my fault, 50% chance is Molly's fault. So just the communication, not bad pitch, but I don't like taking a long time with a man on second base, especially. And so I'm trying to find ways to speed that up, but so far this year's been good, but it got messed up today.
Is there a reason you want to speed up that process?
Yeah, because it happens to me a decent amount where I shake a lot with a man on second, and then it gets confusing, and then the catcher will call timeout because we've messed up so many times, and then it takes like over 2 minutes, maybe even like 4 or 5 minutes sometimes, just to throw one pitch. And it's not something I like, but something that's happened probably like 5 times now, and I don't like doing it.
Zach, how have you felt? How did you feel tonight, and how have you felt these last 3 starts? It really seems like you're rounding in the form.
I felt really good all three. I think I pitched better against the Angels and Oakland today. I don't know if I just didn't pitch as good or their team gave tougher at-bats or what it was. It was just, I felt good, but it was a lot harder to do good today for me. Got guys on base all the time and was having to pitch out a lot of jams, I felt like.
This team gave you a lead to work with too. And just, they've been looking for that big swing, Maldi giving it to them tonight. Did you notice that helping out the club, you know, the guys around you, maybe they loosened up a bit?
Yeah, I would say you're probably right. I think so.
Yeah, back to the calling pitches with a man at second. So that's something you just started doing this
obsessed
year?
Obsessed with that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't like shaking a lot. And I don't know. Trying it out. Sometimes I call the same pitch that I throw. Most of the time, it's not the same pitch. And it's just a little thing that maybe it's getting too tricky and I need to stop doing it. Because I felt like it slowed the pace down today, the way it was happening. So, which is my fault. And I don't know. I was trying to get it to where we could do things faster. Yeah. Because I work slow and I try to speed it up, but it's just tough sometimes.
Does it help for you to do that when you have a catcher like Maldonado who you've worked with before?
Maybe, and he's really smart and he comes, he understands what's happening, but you could tell sometimes we're not 100% sure that I'm throwing what he's expecting. So it's just, I think it helps throwing to the same catcher and it won't be as tricky the next time or someone, but for the most part it's been good. Today there's some trickier parts, so we'll see.
All right, thanks Zach.
Man, He has stepped up when they've needed him to when Verlander went down. It was almost like he was just an icing on the cake type guy last year. You have Cole, you have Verlander. This year you even had Verlander, and it was just like, haha, this guy's funny. Since Verlander's gone down, he's been phenomenal, awesome. Back of the rotation, my butt show.
Look, anyone who wants to speed up the game is all right in my book. And I think most people love baseball.
Might not want to give away the pitch, though.
I think that's also a reflection of his personality. Now, this is not like throwing him under the bus or being very casual.
Be easy on Zach
No. I'm just saying, I'm going somewhere here. You know, he's got documented social
anxiety.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to, like, scare up some sort of nonsense. It's documented. And I think a lot of times when that happens, and I'm not a psychologist, but I love psychology, I think the filters go away. He's really honest. When you listen to his answers,
yeah,
the actual
honesty
words,
is next level.
He's really, really brutally honest, and it's impressive.
I'm not a doctor, but you know what else I'm going to diagnose Zach Greinke with on his last three starts, Fig?
Badass.
Sam Cassell big balls. That's what he's got. You've been diagnosed with Sam Cassell big balls, Zach Greinke. Keep doing your thing. We're going to keep doing our thing tomorrow. It's going to be a Football Friday. What better way to spend Football Friday than hearing from Bill O'Brien live on the practice field at 8 a.m. than J.J. Watts with Clinton Show after that? My goodness. Business is picking up. We're going to be inside 4 weeks tomorrow. We're going to have the Astros beginning a series with the Mariners. J-Lo, no irony here.
Hey, shout out to you for some heavy-duty work in the lab today.
Hey. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. For the OG John Lopez, for Sean Pendergast live from the bubble, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I am Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.